explaining this pandemic, explaining why mom and dad are home and why mom and dad aren't going to work and why aren't they going to school. This is a lot. And this has been going on in a child's mind for a long time already. So what do we do?
Well, we have to understand the nature of the mind. I mean, children are very big observers. They are watching and noticing everything around them. However, they are poor interpreters of what they're experiencing, and they kind of make up their own creative conclusions about what's happening. And so some kids will come up with something rather positive. This was like the best fun vacation, crazy, wacky time I ever had. And other kids will get very serious and potentially create some very negative, scary sort of thinking. So parents have a job in doing their best to accomplish a more positive outcome, obviously, in their thinking. And mostly how we do that is not so much in what we say to our kids, although that's part of it, our words. But a lot of it has to do with just the modeling of our own attitude, positivity, and outlook. So they look to us for that sense of security. And if we're kind of like, yeah, you know what? We can't go out of our house. There's a really bad germ going around. We have to stay home until it's all looked after. And we go about our merry business. Then kids are like, oh, well, mom and dad seem okay with this. I guess I'm okay with it too. So a lot of it is our own personal, what we're projecting is what our kids will most likely pick up.
Is that the same thing where a kid falls down and scrapes their knee, and if a parent doesn't overreact, then the kid just like, okay, wipes it off and carries on. But if they rush over, that same sort of philosophy?
Absolutely. In fact, come on, don't you know the stories of the kid who didn't even know that they were hurt, and then they see the blood and start to cry?
Okay, what about older kids? I have a daughter who's 22, a daughter who's 19. They're both here at home. We're all working from home. And I just don't want my kids to get sick of me or the other way around.
Yeah, well, and a really good point. There's a lot to be said for how we're supposed to live. And what I mean by that is developmentally, Darwinian, evolutionarily, we really were designed to hit maturation, sexual maturation, find our new partner and go off and make our own nuclear family. We're not really meant to stay in our nuclear family alone with our parents without any other interactions. This is unnatural. And so it is a social challenge, what we're experiencing right now, which is why I keep saying over and over again in as many ways as I can, be kind, be compassionate, because what we really want to do is try to preserve as much positive social cohesion relationships as we can in these artificial conditions. And I think that what's particularly difficult for the age set that you just referred to is where they are in their lifespan is they're supposed to be thinking about moving away from education, away from home, and getting their own careers launched, just as the economy has crashed and most of these young adults don't know about their uncertain future, and now they don't know if they're being precariously housed with their parents who, as much as they love them, they want to leave them, and they should. And so I think it's a particularly difficult time in that they've also had no life perspective to be able to say this too shall pass, the way some older people have said, you know, we've been through the Great War, we've been through the Depression, we've been through SARS, we've been through HIV, that, you know, that generation doesn't have that sense of bad things happen and we bounce back. So I think they're taking it particularly harder than some of the other age cohorts.
They are over living here at home.
And, it's, you know, the thing is, too, and I've got just, you know, my daughter has come back to socially isolate with me because otherwise she'd be 100% alone. And same thing, it's when you come back to your nuclear family, and many people experience this prior to this situation, when you go back for family Christmas, family Easter, you go right back into your original childhood roles. When you are with your sibling and you're back with mom and dad, you act like you're 7 and 8 again, because that's sort of how you cemented your dynamic. And, you know, it's not in other parts of our lives, we've become more mature, we've become more fully resourced, we don't get so reactionary. But man, does your sibling and your parents know how to push your primary childhood buttons? And we go right back into that configuration. So it makes sense to me, but it's more challenging when you stick around too long or you come back because of this. It's it's part of why we just, again, have to work that much harder in these trying times.
I have a theory that in a healthy family dynamic, a mom and dad will, like, they just picture their kids stop growing. So, you know, dad will always picture an 8-year-old, no matter if they're 22, or mom will, you know, see their son as, you know, say 10 years old, and then that just, it kind of stops them. They'll always be daddy's little girl or mom's little boy, kind of along the same lines as you there.
Well, yes, and so again, like, I mean, I am approaching 60, but when I get together with my siblings, I am still the baby sister. I've got 3 older brothers, yeah, and I am still the baby. And I, you know, my whole life I have felt like the baby. When I got my first mortgage, I remember going, do they know they're giving me a mortgage? Like, I'm just a baby. So yes, we participate. The parents project this stunted age on us, but, you know, we kind of live into it too at times, for
sure. Do your siblings also realize that you're still the favorite?
Yes. Right. Each of them saying, oh, the princess, yes. And they'll bring that up again now that we're all together.
So since we are all together, my 2 daughters, my husband and I, and 3 of us working out of the house, what are some of the parameters we should set in order to have a cohesive, well, not even cohesive, but a smooth running household in this very odd time?
Yeah, I am a really big believer of holding something called family meetings, where, you know, you sit down around the table, just like you would in an office, and say, hey, listen, here's our situation. We all got to live here together for however long this is going to go on. And we've got to figure out how to get everybody's needs met and do this, to your point, as smoothly and seamlessly as possible. You know, what needs to be in place for us to cohabitate smoothly? And then you hold that meeting again the next week and say, what worked this week? What didn't? What do we need to shore up? What do we need to get better at? What problems do we need to solve? And approach it as problems that need solutions, not people that are bothering you that need to be disciplined, corrected, you know, told, right, controlled, moralized, and just come at it through that lens. And if you keep collectively getting together and people can speak their piece and say, listen, I got to make conference calls. You guys can't be using up all the bandwidth downloading movies while I'm trying to get on a video call with my boss. So we can say, okay, so how do we do that this week? Let's schedule when phone calls are, or put post-it notes, or however it gets solved in your family, and try that for a week. And so I think that approach just is super respectful, and, you know, and it allows our youth to also say, hey, you know, you're also in my face because of X, Y, and Z. You know, I don't need a bedtime. I'm 21. I've been off at university. Stop telling me when to go to bed.
We're talking with Allison Schaefer, a parenting expert, an author, a speaker. Do you have any suggestions for how parents can cope, whether they have, you know, younger children or that school age, they're now forced to be the substitute teacher? We had our own afternoon guy on who has a couple school age kids, and he's substitute dad. So do you have anything that you would suggest for parents, like just their own coping to keep their own sanity?
Yes. Well, I mean, the first thing I would say is that a lot of there's true stressors in the world, but a lot of the stress that we put upon ourselves is self-imposed, in that we get really upset when we aren't meeting expectation. And so we have to realize nobody is expecting you to be a remote worker as if that was the job you signed up for. Nobody's expecting you to be a homeschooler as if you made a conscious choice that you wanted to become a homeschooler and you went to the homeschooling program. These are unusual circumstances where people are asking everyone to just give it a go, try your best. And like I said, for the most important thing is that we all need to survive this with our mental health intact. So if for some families, kids getting on a routine by doing their schoolwork has actually reduced the stress that was being caused by boredom. And parents are finding that's been helpful. Other families are fighting with their kids about schooling, and so then it's been not helpful. And I've told those parents, then don't do it if it's not helpful. Because right now, sanity is the most important thing that we're trying to get through here. So whatever adds to your sanity, let go of the expectations, let go of the high ideals, just make the highest value of getting through the day, whatever that looks like for your family. Lots of deep breaths, lots of taking time away through bubble baths, sitting in your car, listening to the radio, whatever it is. Look after yourself and the peace of your family first and foremost, and let go of all those other standards.
Okay, I'm just going to delete all that, and I didn't hear you say drink more wine. So let's do it one more time.
No, no.